My message is titled, Rest for Your Soul. Rest for Your Soul. I love that we ended on rest on us, and we're talking about rest. Rest for your soul. So I'm going to go to Matthew 11, starting in verse 28. And so this verse is funny. I don't know if that's the right word for it. Okay, so I think it was a couple weeks ago. So a couple weeks ago, the Lord dropped this verse on me. And I felt that I was like, it was the community message, right? It just came very suddenly. And I was like, oh, okay, right? Here's the community message, right? And so I guess it was the last time I preached, right? And so it was the community message. So I shared it. Excuse me. And then we took communion, and then service moved on, and it was time for me to give the message, but kind of felt like there was still more for the Lord to be doing. And so we had some words and some different exhortations come forth, and still kind of felt like there was a little bit more for the Lord to do. And I was like, you know. And then Myra Mathis got up and it was coming around, and because I was like, hey, if there's more, like, because a lot of times once, you know, we pull the podium out, you know, that's the time is over for community exhortations, for congregational exhortations. And so, but I had said, hey, if anybody else has something else. And so she came, and I was like, come on. And so she was honoring the protocol and was going to stop with Lisa. And I was like, no, just come on, let's go. And so she came over, and I moved out of the way so she could give her exhortation. And it was a word for me. And so she was like, hey, this is for you. And I was like, oh, you know, funny. And then it was the same scripture I had just shared for communion. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's Saturday. And then Sunday goes by. I don't remember that anything happened on Sunday. Monday, I'm reading, and it's a verse in the book I'm reading. But I don't really notice it at that moment because they're highlighting a different part of the verse. It isn't until later when I reflect on it that it's part of it. And then on Tuesday, I am talking with a Christian mentor, someone that I really respect and looked up to. We were having a phone call. She is in Australia, so it was at nighttime on my time so that we could be in the morning for her. And it was someone who I hadn't spoken with before. And so we were talking, and she was asking me to share something, and I was sharing some stuff, and she was like, hey, you know, I just really feel like I just got this scripture for you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so she shares it, and then she asks me a question. I'm like, I'm going to get to that question in just a minute, but I need to tell you about the scripture. And I just felt like this kiss from the Lord that he was like, hey, I'm talking. This isn't just a normal conversation. This is for you. And I was like, oh, that's fun. So I came down and I told my kids, because I was like, hey, guys, this is so funny. Listen, look at the Lord. He's just highlighting the scripture. So then I'm going to bed, and I'm doing some evening Bible reading. I feel impressed to go to a devotion that I hadn't read in a while. And I open it up, and it's the scripture for that night. And so then it's when I'm journaling back on it that I realized that the day before that it had also been highlighted in this book I was reading. And then there's been some other things that have happened where the Lord has just made it clear. He does highlight scripture to me quite frequently. That was an unusual way that he was highlighting it. And then he's spoken in some other ways in the last several weeks that have just been different, and it's been fun, and it's a delight. And I'm just going to encourage you that if you're navigating things and you feel something that you feel like, ooh, this is significant, make a note of it. Make a note of it. One of the ways was numbers on the clock. Some people, that is frequently the way the Lord highlights things to them, is seeing numbers or certain times of significance, and that's not generally what happens for me. I note it, and I'm like, oh, that's fun, but I don't think of it as something spiritually significant. That's not normally, even though I'm aware of it, that's not normally how the Lord's talking to me. And I went through a season of the Lord, like, really clearly highlighting, where I'd see the numbers, and instead of just thinking, oh, that's cute, right, I was like, the Lord was like, hey, this is important, and I was like, oh, and it just kept happening. And then I had a dream, and the Lord is faithful. If I ask him for a dream, I get dreams. But this was a dream that I would have dismissed as quite silly. You know, it felt like a silly dream, except for the fact that I woke up and the Lord was like, hey, that was me. Right, and I was like, oh, that, okay, right? It was silly symbology. I was telling Ron about it, and he was like, so what was the dream? I'm like, let's just skip past what it was, and let's just talk about the meaning. Like, let's just skip past it. And so I'm just going to, we're in a season of the Lord talking and making himself really clear in a number of ways. And so I'm just going to encourage you to have your eyes open, your ears open, your heart open, that it doesn't have to feel super profound, feel super weighty, feel super, like it doesn't have to, no one else has to go, oh, this is the Lord, right? You can see something, you can see an image or a color or a time on the clock or someone say a word. And if you feel the Lord underlining it, take note of it. The thing that was so unusual to me was that these weren't ways that the Lord normally talks to me. And it's easy to get familiar with the way that the Lord speaks to you. And we all have our own histories. We all have our own histories with the Lord of the way he speaks to us. And that's fine. He made us certain ways, right? And we get to keep our ears open for the times when he's doing something different and he's highlighting something unusual and he's speaking to us in a different way. And so I'm just going to encourage you in this season to just have the spiritual antennas up. And that when you feel that little prick or that little, hey, this matters, even if it's not something you would normally pay attention to it, journal it, sit with it, ask the Lord what he's saying. It's a really exciting season that we're in. So I just wanted to say that. So Matthew 11, starting in verse 28. I am in the New King James Version. Come to me, all you who labor. This is Jesus talking. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to read it again. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you've been part of this house for any length of time, then you know this already. But if you haven't been, I'm just gonna catch us all up and be on the same page. So there is a Jewish calendar, a Hebraic calendar. Right, and as many calendars are, it doesn't line up with the calendar that we use, our January, February, March, April, May, June calendar. The months have different names. They start at different times, right? They're oriented around the new moon because before we had an atomic clock and could measure however they do it, that splitting of an atom or whatever vibration that they do to figure out what time it is. Before all of that, you looked into the sky because that's what you could see. And you knew when the day started and when the day ended because the sun rose and the sun set. And you knew when a month or a larger unit of time started and stopped because the moon operates on a cycle. And so you could go, oh, new moon to new moon, we can measure that as a time. And you could measure that because that was something clear in the sky that you could see. And so now we're disconnected from that, and I'm not saying anything about that. We just use other things to measure time because we have other ways to measure time now. But in the Bible, the months that they use and the years that they use are off this other calendar. And so here at Shepherd's Heart, we frequently talk about when the month starts and when the month ends and point out some themes of it in the Bible, what the Jews would have thought, what happens throughout Scripture, what the Lord might be saying to us in the midst of it. And in the fall, one of the things that starts is that the Jewish New Year begins, A new year begins. And that's coming in just a couple of weeks. And that's part of the reason why I feel like a lot is being said right now and a lot is being spoken, is because we're getting ready to step into this new season. We're getting ready to step into this new time, right? This new year on God's calendar. And so I think the Lord is talking to us a lot about what's coming for us, what we're supposed to lay down, what we're supposed to pick up. And I'm not having a conversation about that. It's just the backdrop of this. Because we're standing at the edge of a new season, a new Hebrew year, and a new natural season. We're stepping into fall, right? You know, New York has four seasons. I heard a joke that Rochester's four seasons are almost winter, winter, still winter, and construction. which has some truth to it. Okay. It has some truth to it. But you know, if we're talking about the actual seasons that are recognized around the world, we're stepping into autumn, into the fall. And the Lord sets things in place to speak, right? Sometimes we're out of step with what's going on and everything, but when I look around and I see things changing and I feel the weather changing and I know we're getting ready to step into this new year and we're stepping into this new natural season, right? I think about, okay, what new season am I maybe stepping into? And so we're standing at the edge of a new season, and before we're fully into it, some of us are ready for a new season, right? Some of us are ready for a change. Some of us would be sad to leave the season that we're currently in, and both of those are valid. But before we're fully into this new place, I believe that Jesus wants us to hear this invitation from him. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. Come to me, and I will give you rest. So I want to share three truths from this passage about rest and what it means to enter into the rest of the Lord, particularly as you're in the middle of things. The first point is that rest is a gift, not a reward. Rest is a gift, not a reward. Jesus doesn't say, work harder and I'll give you rest at the end. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. When we think about the days of creation, right, it starts and it says, and it was evening and then it was morning and it was the first day, right? It was evening and then it was morning and it was the second day. You see that all right in the beginning. This is Genesis 1. Okay. So what day were people created on? Day six. People were created on day six. Okay? There are 7 days of creation, right? People were created on day six. So what number day then was their first full day? 7, right? Okay? Because they're made on the sixth day. So the first full 24-hour period, the first evening and morning that they fully had was day 7. And if you're familiar with Genesis, if you're familiar with the creation story, if you're familiar with how the Old Testament works, what happens on the 7th day? Rest, the Sabbath, right? I'm going to actually go to Genesis 1. Womp, womp, womp. There we go. Okay, let's see. Well, actually, it's not Genesis 1. It would be Genesis 2. Actually, no, I'm going to go back to Genesis 1. Sorry, Nakai, I'm making her click back and forth. Okay. Let's go to the end of that chapter, verse 31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now let's flip to Genesis 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. And then you see, as God continues to dwell with man, that he asks them to rest on the seventh day as well. Right? He sets it as a holy ordinance to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. So, male and female are created on the sixth day. Okay? They do some stuff on the sixth day. He names animals. He does. Eve's created. Right? But their first full day, what do they do?
Rest.
Have they earned it yet? They're babies. They haven't even been around for a full 24 hours. And the first thing that the Lord calls them to do is to rest. Rest is a gift, not something that you earn. Rest isn't something we earn by finally getting everything right. It isn't a prize for the most disciplined or the most spiritual. Rest is a gift freely given to anyone who will come. A couple verses that I'm not going to turn to, but I'm just going to say. Exodus 33:14. God is talking and he says, my presence, he's talking to the Israelites. He says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Deuteronomy 12:9-10. For you have not yet come to the rest and to the Lord, to the inheritance that the Lord your God has given you. But when you go over to the Jordan and live in the land, he will give you rest from all your enemies. Psalm 127:2. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Rest is not something that his people had to manufacture or to drum up. It's always been tied to God's promise and provision. And rest is contrasted with anxious striving. It's God's gift to his people. That means we can enter into a new season from a place of rest. It was the first day for Adam and Eve. Okay? Yes, it was the seventh day, but it was their first full day. The first full thing that they were able to step, that they were supposed to step into. And so I believe that that's true for us, that when we're going into these new seasons, that it's the first thing that we're supposed to do is to rest in the Lord. We're supposed to enter into new seasons from a place of rest, not just collapse into rest at the end of it. Right? Push down. Right? My toddlers, when my kids were little, I have four kids, when they were little, they were all 120-0. Wake up full throttle all day long. Just go. And then it was like you cut a string and they just collapsed. Whenever, like, the picture I have in my brain is if you wound them up, whenever the wind up, whenever it was done, it was just strings collapse, boom, we're done, we're asleep, wherever it happens, it's just gone. How many of you guys have ever seen a little kid just, they were good, and now they're out. You look behind you, it's really bad when you're, like, in the car, and you needed them to stay awake. How many parents are with me, and all of a sudden they're talking, and all of a sudden you hear the silence in the back of the seat, and you're like, no, wake up, you know, because you're trying to get home, right? Okay. We don't prepare for a new season by exhausting ourselves. We prepare by receiving what the Lord gives us, and what he gives us is rest. Number two, rest is found in relationship. I'm going to read the verse again. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So rest is something that the Lord gives, but I think the invitation matters a lot. He doesn't say, come for rest. He says, come to me. Right? And then rest is what manifests from you going to him. Right? The focus isn't on the rest. The focus is on the person. Right? Even those scriptures that I said before, Exodus 33:14, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. His presence, and then he gives the rest. Or Deuteronomy 12:9-10, right at the end when he says, he will give you rest from all your enemies. The focus is on the fact that God is the one who gives it. Yes, you get rest, but the focus is on the giver. Once again, Psalm 127:2. He gives to his beloved sleep. The focus is always on the Lord as the one who gives. Real rest is not the absence of activity. It's the presence of Jesus. We moved here in 2016. Well, moved back here. We're from here. We lived in Kansas City for a while, and then we came home in 2016. And almost immediately, when we were elders here at Shepherd's Heart, and almost immediately we started getting challenged on Sabbath. When is your Sabbath day? When are you taking a Sabbath? How are you Sabbathing? Are you actually Sabbathing? It doesn't sound like you're Sabbathing. What does it look like, okay? Constant challenging us on what did rest look like for us? When were we resting? And, you know, we challenge our kids because of our life in ministry. We take a midweek day off, right? I just announced last week that we had shifted ours, okay? We used to take it from Tuesday at 5 p.m. to Wednesday at 5 p.m., and now we take it from Wednesday at 5 p.m. to Thursday at 5 p.m. And that was part of our rhythm in our household, was that the Tuesday to Wednesday no longer served us. We have kids in dance. There's dance classes that we don't control when that timing and that schedule is. And so in order for us to actually not engage with different activities, we needed to move the day that we chose to rest. And so that's what we did. Because it's important for us as a family to have that anchor. And the thing that we're continually pushing with the kids is not just, hey, it's not just relaxing. It's not just a relaxed day. It's a day to engage with the Lord. To engage with the Lord. We find our rest in him. We receive it from the hand of the Lord. It's not just being, I don't mean to say not just because I don't mean this at all. It's not being slothful. It's not laziness or idleness in the way that a lot of people think of as a day off. We absolutely do relax. We absolutely do idle. We're not trucking along, okay? But at the core of it is that we receive that as a gift from the Lord. And so we need to go to him. And our house, part of our rhythm is, and this is part of the reason for shifting it, is because we had lost this, is that, you know, we have a weekly rhythm of fasting. And then several years ago, we started taking communion as a family at the end of our fast. And then it would be our first thing as we went into our Sabbath. And we loved that. And then it got all wobbly because we didn't make the shift fast enough to realize that that day was no longer serving us. And we just started that back again last week, and it was so good the first day again that we sat and we took communion together and we prayed together, and then we said, our Sabbath begins. Like our kids, they like the routine, they like the scripting of it. So we say it the same way every time, right? And so we're like, oh, so when we're fasting, we say our fast is over and our Sabbath begins. And if we didn't fast for whatever reason, we just say our Sabbath begins. But there's something that shifts the whole quality of that day when it starts with this intentional engagement with the Lord. Before we do anything else, we gather together and we come to the Lord and we sit at his table. And then we receive our Sabbath day as a gift from him. And I'm not saying that you have to do that, but just that really physical chunk in our day. Like we do it up. Communion on that day, we have these really gorgeous dishes. And so we use them every week for communion. I don't know the other times. I think we also use them at Passover, and we might use them at a couple other holidays. But weekly we use them at communion. We have crystal goblets. Than just got to start using that. Before that, he had the tiny little like shot glass thing. Okay, my son is 10, right? We have the crystal goblets. We get fresh bread. We pour the juice around, right? It's a ritual that we step into, but it's so distinctly different from anything else that we do. We have a special journal that we write our prayer requests in. We read the scripture together because we've read it out of the same version of the Bible for, I don't know how long it's been now. We started that when we moved into this house, but not right away. We started it before 2020, right, Zoe? Yeah. So like maybe 2019 or so. So we've been doing it for 5 or 6 years, right? And we've read the same version of the Bible every time. So now we can recite it. My kids are better than I am. Okay, at reciting it, I can get like halfway through it. We had misplaced the Bible when we started last week, and Ron was reading out of a different version of it, and we were like, just stop reading because you're messing us up, because we have a rhythm that we do. Okay, we have a journal with all the prayer requests in it. And there's just something about engaging with the Lord first, and then our Sabbath begins. And like I said, we had fallen out of that rhythm and we had just stepped back into it last week. And I felt the difference. I felt the difference from this kind of like flinging ourselves into our Sabbath or, oh, wait, the time, to this intentional stepping over the threshold. And particularly not just stepping over and making it an intentional start, but receiving it from the hand of the Lord as a gift. Rest is found in relationship. Psalm 62:1 says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly my soul finds rest in God. Ephesians 2:13 through 14. Let me get the whole scripture of that one because my notes have like a dot, dot, dot in it. And you know, I don't even know why I did that, because you know I like the full context. I don't know why I let myself put a dot, dot, dot like I was going to let that stand. Okay, Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. He himself is our peace. The peace and the rest of the Lord isn't something that's separate. It's something that's embodied in who he is. True peace is God. True peace is only found in Jesus. True rest is only found in him. You can't get the peace of Jesus without the presence of Jesus. That's why preparing for a new season doesn't start with strategies or schedules. It starts with drawing near to him. Now, I am a strategy person. I am a schedule person. When things feel out of control, you can probably find me in the aisles of Staples looking for a new planner, because I'm just convinced that if I can just find the right planner or the right notebook, that everything will work out, okay? And so that's my tendency, right? Like, okay, I've gotta do this. You know, we do school supply shopping. We homeschool and we do school supply shopping. You know, Zoe asked for my help picking out a new planner for this year because she had a kind of aggressive course load going. And I was like, yes, let me help you, child of mine. I would be delighted to help you pick a planner, okay? And I have to lay that down, that tendency, all the time. Because the right schedule and the right notebook and the right planner isn't where peace comes from. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel good to get the color coding and the highlighters and all the stuff. I love it. But true peace only comes in the person of Jesus. And so I constantly have to lay down that idea that I can somehow make the plan work for the season, or make the plan work for the transition, or make the plan work for the new year. And I have to continually put my eyes on Jesus first. Let him speak to me and let it flow from his heart. Now, he made me this way. He made me who I am. And so after I sit with him and I commune with him and he pours out his love on me and he restores my soul, I feel his delight when I open up the planner, because that's how he made me to be. But I can't put that ahead of him. Our souls only find rest when we are with God. Only find rest when we're with God. Number three, rest reshapes how we carry things. So number one was rest is a gift, not a reward. Number two is rest is found in relationship. And then three is rest reshapes how we carry things. I'm going to read the scripture again, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Because if you don't hear anything that I say, you're going to hear the word. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, so Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. He doesn't promise to remove everything that we need to carry. But he does invite us to carry them differently. So I am unapologetically a city girl. Dirt, animals are foreign concepts to me. Okay, we struggle with those aspects of the Bible because I have no grid for them, okay? I had started a garden a few years ago and I learned so much in the scriptures. I figured out so much that I thought I understood that I didn't really get till I got my hands in the dirt, okay? So for those of you who are like me, a yoke is a wooden beam that joined two oxen together so they could pull in the same direction. Okay, so I was born in 1982, and I grew up playing Oregon Trail at school. So that is my whole concept of oxen, is the pixelated 8-bit covered wagon and the little things and the you have died of dysentery. Okay, right? Okay, so. So I have this picture in my brain, and I realized when I was thinking about this and I was looking at different pictures, I was realizing that the picture in my brain was just the little bits and the computer music behind it, which is not the scripture, but is what I have to work with. So, but it was for two oxen to pull and to plow or to pull a load, right? It's interesting because in the law, you see there's a law in the Old Testament that says don't yoke an oxen and a donkey together, right? Because they're completely different sizes and they have completely different abilities to pull, and it would mess up everything because it would be all out of step. Your yoke was probably going to get broken because they were going to go at different speeds and all these different things. So you were supposed to yoke two of the same type of animal together. And so what was interesting to me is because I thought what would make sense, well, obviously you need the two things to be close to the same size because otherwise it's going to be all janky and lopsided and stuff, and that's not going to work. But I would have thought that you would want two oxen of the same strength to be together. But what I discovered is that farmers would often pair a strong and seasoned or a mature ox with a younger, weaker one. And so it would let them pull more together because them yoked together would multiply their ability to carry a load. But the stronger ox would carry most of the weight and set the pace. The younger ox wasn't crushed, but it was learning to walk in rhythm. And so that was really interesting to me. Because if we're yoked with Jesus, he's clearly the seasoned, mature one of the group, right? And when it says that the yoke is light, the strong ox and the weak ox are together, and the strong ox is carrying most of the load, but the weak ox is still there, right in step. And so if we're yoked to Jesus like that, it's not that the weight is somehow lighter, it's that he's carrying it. And the whole point of it is for us to stay in time, stay in step with him. Not to carry our weight, but to learn the rhythm. That's what Jesus is inviting us into. When we take his yoke, we're not free-floating with no responsibilities. We're still in there. We're still in the thing with him. But we're walking in step with him. He shoulders the true weight. He sets the pace, and we learn his rhythm. This is why his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Not because there's no work, but because we are no longer carrying it alone. That same person I was talking to, who she's in Australia when we were talking, she said, she was like, "Hey, Valerie, like, it's better for you to do all the things that the Lord has called you to go all the way in, no matter what it is. It's better to go all the way in rather than try to go, oh, that's too much, and only do like 75% of it, thinking that it's better for you to do less." Because she's like, if you do the whole thing, then you're in step with him, and it's easy, and it's light. If you try to only do 75% or 80%, you've now taken the whole thing on yourself. You're fully in your own strength, and it's going to be a grind. And you're going to think that the grind is, oh, this is so much. When actually, the grind is only because you didn't go the whole way. Take the whole thing. She's like, if it's too much, but he called you to, that's the whole point, because it's his. If you only take 70% of it, it's still too much, and now you're in your own strength. Now you're going to be crushed. And I had never really thought of it like that, that it was like, oh, if I'm 100% of the way in with the Lord, now I can be in step with him, the yoke, and he can carry it. If I do anything less than 100%, I've put the whole thing into my strength. It's either all the way, and it's all him, or it's all me. Anything less than 100% is now all me. It's all my responsibility because I'm not doing what the Lord told me to do. Even if I'm 99.99999999999999, whatever, repeating, you know, the little line over the top, percent of the way there, I'm doing it fully in my own strength because I did not go 100% of the way and throw it all on the Lord. Which made a lot of things make sense to me. Right when I did everything but one thing and it felt so heavy. Versus when I did exactly what he told me to do and objectively it was a wild thing. And it felt so light. You know, the most recent example of this I wrote a book, right? I've written books before, right? I wrote a book. I was working on a workshop in July 7th, and I felt the Lord tell me that the workshop I was working on was in fact a book. And I was like, oh, praise God. Amazing. This is exciting. And I felt the Lord tell me that that book was for the conference that I was working on the workshop for, which was August 1st, less than a month away. He said, hey, this book is for this. And I went, for this year? For the conference this year? And I felt the Lord say yes. And I was like, how is that going to work? What is even that supposed to be? And I went, okay, well, Lord, you know, I came home, I told my husband, Ron was like, hey, let's go, right? You got it. The Lord said it. And I decided that what I was going to do was every time the Lord opened up a moment for me to write, I was going to sit down and write. Because I was trying to crunch the numbers and make it work, and I was like, okay, this has to happen on this day, this has to happen on this, you know, I was backtracking it because this is what I do. I help authors write books. And I'm going, and I could feel it starting to crush me. And I went, nope, this isn't my timing. This is the Lord's timing. If he wants it to happen by Epic on August 1st, that's his responsibility. He is the author of time and space. He can open up time and space. I just need to be faithful. And so I just kept sitting down. My author friends were like, oh, it could be short. You could write a really short book, right? And I was like, oh, I'm just going to write what the Lord tells me. So I just kept sitting down and writing. The day that I thought it needed to be done by came and went, and I wasn't done. A day that I thought was going to be a really long, full, rich writing day, I had the first migraine I had had in a couple of years, and it completely wiped me out for 36 hours. I was just laying in my room and vomiting. And then I finished the book, like, after midnight, the week before the book's supposed to come out. And then I look at the print shop and I look at the thing and I'm like, oh, it can still get done. And so I pick it up the Tuesday before it's supposed to be out, 22 days from the day Lord said write to the day that I had a finished copy of a 160-page book in my hands. And it was because I didn't take part of it on me that wasn't mine to take. If the Lord said he was going to do it, then I had to be faithful with my part. He wasn't going to write it for me. I had to sit down at the page and write. But the timing, that was all him. That was his responsibility. Jesus is inviting us to be partnered with him. Rest reshapes how we carry things. It changes the way the load looks. And so as we step towards a new season, Jesus' invitation is real simple. So many of his words are really, really simple. Come to me. Rest is a gift. receive it from him. Rest is found in relationship, so stay close to him. Rest reshapes how you carry things, so let him set the rhythm and share the load. And in fact, it's not just a sharing, it's him taking the load. So as we end, let's just take a moment to respond. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. If you've been carrying heavy burdens, whatever those burdens might look like, whatever comes to your mind, whatever weight, whatever burden, whatever load, tonight is a moment to lay those down before the Lord and to take up his yoke. There's a song that we sing, Higher, Higher, a lot. And we say, cast your burdens, the Lord, for he cares for you, right? And so you might want to actually do your hands forward and lay them before him. You might just want to open your hands. It's a symbol that he's taking those. Lord, we come to you. We lay down the heavy things that we've been carrying. We lay down the heavy things we've been carrying, Lord. We receive the gift of your rest. We receive the gift of your rest, Lord. We receive the gift of your rest. Teach us to walk in step with you as we enter this new season. Teach us to walk in step with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to encourage you that if you don't currently rest, if you don't currently have a Sabbath day, to really think about what that looks like, to ask the Lord what that looks like for you. We're a community, so you can always talk with us. Many of us have Sabbath through having little babies, Sabbath through having hard jobs, all those different things that can make it feel challenging to enter into the rest of the Lord.